Hello and welcome to the Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. It is great to have you with us after another Cats win. It got the heart pumping again, just like the week before against the Lions. But the Cats did get the win against the old rivals, the Hawks, on Easter Monday. Just. We're going to talk about all of that in just a second. We're going to talk about the upcoming match, Melbourne, on Sunday, back at the MCG. We're also going to have a chat to a man who played 70-odd games for the Cats, 80-odd games for the Demons. Clint Bizzle's going to be our guest on this week's podcast. We'll get to your questions as we always do, but first of all, it is my great pleasure to welcome my co-host on the podcast, Scotty Gallen. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Cameron. So we got the next Gary Ablett on.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Oh, he was compared.
They jumped on probably. He had the blonde hair taking hangers. Bang. I don't know the real story. I look forward to him explaining it.
Yeah,
but
the kid from Queensland came down and took some big grabs early.
And he quickly became the next Gary Ablett, poor old Biz. And so we had to shuffle him off to Melbourne after that.
We were big on comparing players back then.
Oh, we still are.
Yeah, true.
There's been a lot of Wayne Careys. There's been a lot of, I mean, it's natural for fans, commentators, all of us to do it.
You say he's going to, you think, oh, he reminds me of or he looks like, but he'll be the next.
You know what it's like down here, the Geelong Addy and the faithful go, yes, we've got another one. Oof, poor old Biz.
Big call. Be great to chat with him. As I said, he had 80-odd games with the Demons as well, so we'll talk to him about that as well. Let's start, though, Scotty. Easter Monday against the Hawks in a game that going in, probably thought the Cats would win. Reasonably
Hawthorn
comfortably.
Are a developing team. They're not. I know these matchups. I know there's a theory.
They never
that they,
go
I
to
know,
script.
But let's. The basics, the truisms is Geelong should have won by 10 goals. And they were looking comfortable. Three or four goals up.
30 points, I think, was the furthest they got to. They end up winning by 5 points, which Cats fans would know.
And well, explain to me what's happening with our team. So, because this has happened to.
I only have a theory.
Well, 3 weeks. They're not running out games, which is obvious.
No, Brisbane Lions came hard over the top of them the week before.
They're getting canned for slow play, which I don't think they're deliberately doing, but maybe they are. You've got a very good theory, which I like about this.
It's just a theory. It feels like. So first of all, let's paint the picture. Geelong have had a. The whole competition had a much shorter preseason than normal. Geelong and Richmond and those teams that made it deep into finals have had an extremely short preseason. And yes, there would have been some carryover match fitness, but by the time you get to the end of the season, you are match fit, but not you're carrying niggles, all that sort of stuff. You're not that traditionally aerobically fit and strong. You've lost a bit throughout the course of the season just trying to recover for matches. Pre-season is for getting yourself absolutely cherry ripe to go. Geelong's had a very short window in order to do that. They've also, too, it's just fact, they've got some older players on the list, so there are some soft tissue concerns, and unfortunately Sean Higgins was another one on the weekend. So my theory, Scotty, is that because of missing a couple of key personnel, Dangerfield, Jeremy Cameron, etc., the limited preseason and some concerns around some soft tissue injuries, that it feels like Geelong would prefer to play the fast, high-intensity game of football that naturally occurs for only around about 80 minutes rather than 120 minutes. I'm only plucking a number of 80 out of it. So therefore, in order to shorten the quick part of the game, they go into a controlled possession mode, the kick mark, everything that we're seeing and some fans are getting frustrated with, in order to limit the amount of up and down the ground, quick flying around running that they have to do, and therefore aiming to hold on for that 80-minute period. Whereas a team like the Sydney Swans at the moment, who are flying and going really well with their
movement, exuberance of use.
Yeah, and other teams, they're happy to have pace on the game for longer periods, maybe 100, 110 minutes, because they back the fact that they can get across the ground better than their opposition. It feels like Geelong are just trying to limit the amount of time they need to be in free-flowing play.
I like your theory, but the problem is they chip around and do all that, but yet the last 20 minutes they get swamped. So what, do they run out of steam even doing this, trying to slow it down?
Well, I mean, naturally they're still running. You've still got to work hard to get on lead. So it's telling over the course of the whole game. I think other the teams are quickly realizing too, both Brisbane and Hawthorn, they within the game changed the way they played. They realized, let's put speed on the game.
Yes.
So Hawthorn were taking more risks than we've seen them take recently. They were taking the corridor one.
Ultimately lost them the game, ironically.
Jath running from halfback. You've got to have the right players trying to do that, by the way. Yeah. Just realise your limitations. Jath trying to run from behind. Like, just play on. Create that speed on the game. And that speed on the game was getting through Geelong. And Brisbane, exactly the same the week before. So great thing is, this is a build of conditioning for Geelong. Well,
that's what I want to hear. So
they've chalked up wins despite not being anywhere near their
best. It's great. So if the speed on the game, as we're seeing, I'm not convinced it'll last the whole season. It's going to be quicker than previous seasons, but it's not going to be, at the moment, round three, it's still up and about. It calms down a little bit.
It does. I think the overall speed, the Sydneys and that, will come back a little bit. And I think Geelong will build their speed of ball movement over the next 8 weeks.
So in August, would you be hoping, July, August, everyone's back, healthy, that Geelong will play a faster, the man on the mark is still going to be there. This is going to be a way to play quicker. You think Geelong will understand they have to do that?
Well, they will, and they understand it, I reckon, now.
But they're very entrenched in their minds to play this way, which got them to a grand final last year. Correct. Got them.
Do you remember the first three rounds? I reckon they were playing as slow as this last year, but they quickened throughout last year.
I agree with that.
And Tom Hawkins had some fun with it. They got quicker throughout the... That's going to happen anyway this year.
Jeremy Cameron in that team.
Personnel plays a big difference.
All right.
When you've got... Makes a big difference.
So the
when
hysteria is a bit over, isn't it? I feel it's overs. The attack on Geelong's, they're ruining footy, they're playing slow. This is one off. I mean,
they're playing to win within their current capabilities right now.
I like this.
And they are winning. And Adelaide, they weren't ready and they didn't execute the whatever game style they were trying to do. And Adelaide got the win, and that was a big upset loss for them. They're 2-1, playing nowhere near their best football.
Yeah. No, tick, tick.
The worry is, Melbourne are playing good football.
They're false 3-0s. You know that.
North Melbourne, they should have no worries with. And then really? then West Coast the following week, who are
Where's
dangerous.
That go? That's here.
That's here. So it's just where that lands after 6 weeks. If it's 4-2, good as gold. If it's 3-3,
You're pessimistic, man. No, not pessimistic.
I'm a realist. Right. You know what I reckon Chris Scott and his coaching team being right now? They're being realistic.
Okay.
They know the limitations of their play, and they also know that they don't need to be playing their absolute peak of football in round three.
No, Richmond and Geelong. I mean, Richmond got smacked, but everyone believes they'll be back. We know that. Now, you didn't miss too many games in your career, Cameron, but when you returned into the side, did you have 37 and 566 metres gained in your return match?
I'm sure
Mitchie Duncan
occasionally did that. No, Mitch Duncan.
How
was
good
superb.
Is that? Seriously, I not a battle to get to the line. It was like he had to push to get to line to get picked. 37 and 566 meters gained is a game and a half.
Did very well. I'm surprised you picked him as the number one player for. Cameron Guthrie was far ahead of everyone.
But I declared my love last week.
Okay.
That true. I am now fully on his bandwagon. But I want. Have we got the tape? We need to roll the tape. I believe last week someone, I won't name who, said, why don't we play Jack Henry forward? And lo and behold, he turns the game as a forward in the second half.
He did.
You think Chris Scott's not listening to this? Clearly
he is. Well, if he did, if he listened to this, he would just tear his hair out. That
How
beautiful,
good was
luscious
it?
Hair. It was brilliant by Jack Henry. He was a threat, and that. How good was that play in a dour affair to light up the MCG when he intercepted the ball, then involved in the play that ended in the Jordan Clark goal? That got the Cats fans off
there. But every bit of that, all of them to keep running, Tommy's handball to the right person. Yeah, it all had little bits of – because if I'm Jack Henry, I started the play, I'll just stop now, I'll just watch this go on. But they both sprinted. I mean, Jordan Clark was
two very good athletes, Jack Henry and Jordan Clark.
Ooh, see? That's what we need.
Hawkey just joining in. No, you're right. It was a it was a terrific move and a move within the game that broke it open. I loved again the game of Mark O'Connor.
Well, he's a mini you. He's a mini you. He's the second coming of Cameron Ling. The shark.
I think his balance first quarter, outstanding. I think 9 touches to 3.
He got more touches than Mitchell for the game.
You know what I loved most, though? And we're all guilty of this. Early on in you playing a run with role, the opposition player doesn't – they just want to get away from you the whole time so you can find the football. The trouble is when you find the football, you think, oh, I'll keep finding the football, and you drift away from what your primary role was.
Yeah, it's my day today.
I think in the second quarter, that's what happened. Mitchell had 12 touches and got them going a little
bit.
He got
a bit ahead of himself, Sharky.
Which, unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to rein that back in over the course of the game. Mark O'Connor realised, oh, hang on, I got the balance wrong there. I went chasing the footy a little bit, straight back to his role. That is hard to do, trust me. And he then limited Mitchell's influence for the rest of the game and had a wonderful game.
O'Connor, 26 disposal, 8 clearances. Mitchell, 24 touches, 18 were handballs. And he only had 4 clearances.
Fantastic.
The Sharks stitched him up.
I love it.
He's the best in the business now. He has got everyone covered, and I love what the coaching...
What is it with... You just joked before that Clint Bizzle got called Gary Ablett Sr. prematurely.
I'm comparing him to Cameron Ling.
Hang on a sec. You've gone best in the business. He's done
else
it tags? Twice. No, so you're right. That's a good point.
Give me a better option. Matt DeBoer's injured now.
That's a good point. He is one of
Why
the few who
does
it.
Why do you think GWS made the grand final that year? Because they put Matt DeBoer in as a tagger. Why do you think...
Mark O'Connor is doing an outstanding job, who has the potential, because of the smarts and balance in his game, to be the best in the
business. And athletically, and he's got everything. He's tall enough. Yeah. You know, he doesn't get bullied like you. You were a tall, boring tagger. The Shark is showing a little bit more. It's the best thing that's happened to this midfield, which is stacked upon stacked.
I love
all
it.
All year, you know that.
I love it.
I've got one question.
Scotty? Yes.
We made a commitment on this program to Chuka for 3 weeks. To be Patrick Dangerfield's replacement, and he looked good against Brisbane. Very excited. Everything was in place. Friday night, when did the teams come out? Sunday, I nearly drove off the road on the way to Stool. Chuka got dropped.
To be the medical side.
Well, but it's still dropped.
Yes. Yeah, true.
Unfortunately, Frank the Tank, my man, got injured, so he got on quickly. And what happened?
He was on for 15 minutes and he had 9 touches and kicked a goal. The great Chuka.
Why did we not have room for him in the middle of the ground from the start of the game?
I don't know.
What, because Mitch Duncan came back? Mitch Duncan's a wingman. You can find rotations.
I don't know. I wanted to see him. You wanted to see him. I think some fans do. I think we've seen lots from last week. I think they've seen the impact that he's had when he's come on. Hopefully that just keeps building.
What, he's going to be an impact man now?
No, I don't think he's an impact man, but I think he's showing enough to suggest he can be a very good player.
I want to see more. And one more, there was a debutante. What did you think?
I liked Maxie Holmes.
Leg speed?
Leg speed. Stayed in the contest a couple of times with being a brand new player and a lighter body. I thought, oh, he's going to get pushed out of the way here, but no, held his ground pretty well. Ooh. Some good smart decisions, a couple of crucial touches late in the game as I think other Geelong players were tiring.
Oh, we found one.
Well,
you're happy?
It's early, it's one game, but there were enough promising signs. Geelong, obviously, they traded up to get the pick. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, no, Wellesley, genius. Absolute genius. It was a bit of an unknown. Oh, COVID year, had only played school footy, hadn't played much, big at athletics. And Wellesley said, I want him. Trade up, draft night. Ding, 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 ding. It was a bit of that action.
Good decision. Very good decision. Looked good. I thought Tommy Atkins was very good again.
Apparently he's playing in defence.
Yes, you know that? Just in case you didn't notice. The downside, you mentioned one of them, Frank the Tank, Francis Evans.
No, it's syndesmosis too. That's
looks
ugly.
Like, looks like, and for those who don't, syndesmosis, it's not it's just a traditional ankle. It's like
OP.
A high ankle sprain
have rolled ankles anymore?
Well, it's a different injury. It's a twisting motion as well, and generally longer term.
It's 10 weeks.
Sean Higgins as well has done a hamstring, 3 to 4 weeks maybe.
That's not good.
Dangerfield's still out, got one more week to serve. Gary Rowan's still out, got one more week. Jeremy Cameron probably not going to come back in. However,
they were making noises he was going to come back, but he's not.
Sam Menegola looks like he will come back.
And is washing machines back yet? Sammy Simpson?
No, probably going to play not. VFL this week, hopefully. Brad Close.
Oh.
Like a big chance.
Frank the Tank replacement.
Chris Scott mentioned him at his press conference.
So he played VFL. So he's back from his injury.
He did.
He was great last year. So that would be a like for like, so potentially.
Evans for Close. Menegola for Higgins. Yeah, that's no. Two good swaps.
What else do we need to do? Oh, don't make Chuka. Make Chuka in, not sub.
Asava, yeah, I hope so. Asava still Asava? Not back. No, he's still not quite yet.
It was a knock on the leg.
It was a fracture.
Okay.
It got fractured. Settle down.
I'm not happy. We need all them. So I agree. They're holding ground and against the Melbourne team who are undefeated. But Max Gawn's been basically doing what he likes. So if Reece Stanley and others can somehow find a way to nullify Max, that might help.
That's going to be huge.
They might play Ben Brown for his first game. That would be interesting.
Oh, there's talk that him and Sam Wiedemann will play their first games, but more than likely VFL.
I was going to say. You're going to have to play
VFL. Yes. The hard one is the key backs for Melbourne have been outstanding. Lever and Mays, that combination.
Yes.
Tom Hawkins is going to have his hands full unless someone else.
Jack Henry.
Can be a threat down there. Well, Jack Henry might be the man. Well,
he should play a tagging role on Lever, or, you know, do something like, not tagging, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Make be aware of his presence.
I like that. That's good thinking. It's good by you. Yeah, no, outside the box.
Come through a lot.
Cozzy Pickett, are you worried about him?
I'm worried. How exciting is the little man? He just smiles every time.
It's great to watch.
I remember, do you remember when Jeff Farmer burst onto the scene? It's exactly the same. It's like, wow, how infectious is this kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, now Busey or someone of the ilk's going to have a hard day.
So who's O'Connor go to?
Oliver doesn't like being tagged at all. Petrarca doesn't get it as much, so I don't think – like, he's an impact.
He's the more damaging of the player, but Oliver can kickstart a lot
yeah,
of things.
Fine, you don't worry about Brayshaw. No. Yeah, you just go to Oliver. He doesn't like it. He's been harassed all year. I just think you go and giggle at him and his haircut. And happy days.
Okay, I think I agree.
Oh, it's a big go. I mean,
they've stopped it at the source. Lachie Neal's the source. Tom Mitchell's the source.
Stop it at the source.
And
the Shark.
He can build his game off that. I love it.
Who would have thought there'd be another Cameron Ling in this decade?
There's no other changes, is there? It'll be Menegola for Higgins, and it'll be Close, you'd think, for
Close if
Evans.
He's done enough, yep.
I think Maxie Holmes gets another game.
Maybe. He maybe can be sub and Chuka plays. Someone has to be sub, not Chuka. Because Melbourne have got leg speed's not their mess. You know, Viney, you know, they're hard at it. They're a contested midfield as well. Jones, these sort of guys. So Chuka can thrive in that environment, can't he? Cheering your man. It's you're supposed
like
to be
it.
The one doing
I like
this.
It. Do you know who I think should definitely stay in the team, even though you had him dropped for round one?
Oh, hang on.
We have received some feedback from our old friend, Reggie, Zach Tui, who listened in. To you saying that he was dropped and left out of the team in round one when he had back complaints, which I brought up and you dismissed, that you said he was just left out.
Why
he
are
has
you
taken
smiling?
Offense.
Is this on? So can he see your face here?
He took offense.
I love Zach more than any person in this club.
He said he didn't get a game in round one. I was just angry that
he wasn't selected in round one.
He was out with injury.
He played in the VFL.
He played a limited management time.
It wasn't. He played a lot. So if your back's too sore to play, you don't play, Cameron. If your back is... I was critical of why he wasn't. He could play with half a back against Adelaide and would have been better than anyone else they sent. He should never not be in that team. That was my point.
Well, but you're the one who had him dropped when
he
wasn't.
I was horrified and angry that he'd been left out.
He was limited.
Cameron, if you got a back injury, you don't play VFL.
He was limited.
What, you don't think it aggravated playing a game of football?
No, he just couldn't go to his full 100%.
I have sources
capacity.
That have admitted they made an error.
Zach Tui.
And in next week, he came back and won them a game.
Has taken great offence to your comments. He is so angry.
Because you and I know. You and I know that I'm right.
No, you're completely incorrect. We're going to take a break anyway, and I want to, well, I hope there's some listener questions, maybe from Zach. We'll take a break because Glenn Bizzle's about to join us. He's just popped up on our screen. He's working from his office in Melbourne. We're going to have a chat to him. Geelong player, Melbourne player. We're going to talk to Biz. We'll get to your questions in just a second. We'll be back soon.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it, get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on to the final bell. And we've got our special guest now, Scotty, in honor of the fact the Cats are playing the Demons.
It's his cup.
We thought we'd get a man who donned the colors of both teams, 75 games for the Cats, 88 games for the Demons throughout the late 90s and early 2000s. Kicked 72 goals for the Cats, but only the 7 for the D's. He went back.
Yeah, change of role, Cameron.
Used his smarts as a forward to then turn himself into a very good defender with the D's. Of course, I speak of Clint Bizzle. Biz, great to have you on.
Good to be on, boys. Just some of the two greatest lads that Geelong has ever produced, really, that I, you know, get to chat to today.
Well, I did just mention the goals for the Cats and then not so many for the D's playing as a defender. You went from a high-flying, just hanger-taking forward to a rock-solid defender.
Who did that bizarre switch, Biz?
Jeez. Well, then you came to the footy club as a forward, mate, and then obviously went to the midfield. You know what that's like, you know?
Which coach did it to you, Biz? Made you a defender?
Coach. So it was Ayrsy. Ayrsy, I played both forward and in defence, but... pretty much played defence first early on. When I was playing reserve football, I was playing a little bit more up forward. But I think, you know, when you're trying to get into the side, you know, you'll take any position. So I was playing down back to start with. But look, you know, my entire upbringing as a football player was very much around, I played a lot in the midfield, but I always played that kick behind the play. So for me, reading the ball was actually a lot easier than it was, you know, the way in coming down as a forward. So I suppose I found my niche, and then, you know, obviously couldn't stay at the Cats because Darren Milburn then, you know, sort of took on that sort of position down back. But, you know, would have loved to have stayed in Geelong, loved my time in Geelong, but got to kick a few goals as well.
Now, Biz, we can laugh about it now, but how was it when the great man's name, there's only one name, Gary Ablett, and your name gets linked to it? I don't think it was by me, was it? I hope it wasn't the one who wrote it.
By one of your fellow journalist friends.
Potentially.
They love to do a comparison.
There's not a harder thing to happen to a young kid. You did well to, you know, roll with it, but looking back, how was it?
Yeah, look, you know, I mean... I suppose with all these things, context is always the greatest the greatest leveler. And that came about after a game when I was playing in defence. I actually played on Aaron Hamill at Princess Park and had a really good game. And Gary Hocking was obviously doing some special commentary, and he just made a few, I suppose, similarities about coming to the football club at an older age, being able to, you know, take a mark and, you know, kick both sides of your body. And then all of a sudden, Geelong advertisers are like, it's a front page. And look, luckily for me, my next year was 2000. So it was actually my best year at the footy club. So it didn't worry me because I knew exactly where Buddha was coming from. And I had to speak to the great man afterwards and going, mate, what have you done? What have you done here? But I think as far as supporters and people that are involved in footy, it's always one of those things, isn't it? You know, you get certain players can get compared to legends of the game. And I saw it just as something that I was flattered by, you know, to be mentioned in the same context as Gary, but not as a player. I know exactly what Buddha was talking about, but it seems to have followed me around. I tried to shake that tag when I went to Melbourne. I said to Dennis, mate, you've got to get me in the back line, get rid of this this forward tag. But anyway, it's good for a laugh, good for a chat.
You had a couple of fantastic coaches to learn from. You mentioned Gary Ayres. You had a couple of seasons under Bomber Thompson, but the man you just mentioned, Neil Danaher, was your coach at the Demons. A wonderfully loved figure, even when he was coaching, as when he was playing at the Bombers. But since, unfortunately, with the diagnosis of MND, has just become such a special person in the football landscape. What are your memories of the great Neil Danaher as a coach? Was he a little scarier back then? Than we think he's just a friendly, great guy now, but was he a bit of a scary man as well?
I think he was a lot scarier before I got there. His reputation early on, he was fire and brimstone. He was letting players know, you know, what he thought about it. And even speaking with some of the assistant coaches who'd been there for the journey, he really evolved as a coach, and he was always somebody that was wanting to get better and learn and develop as a as an individual and as a human, but also a coach. And he absolutely loved coaching. And to be able to follow him through everything he's done with Fight MND has been an absolute honour and a privilege to watch the great man do what he has, you know, what he's done to raise, I think it's now over $40 million in close to 6 years. Unfortunately, the disease is taking its toll. The beast is slowly getting there. But I can tell you right now, the day that we slay that thing, you know, is going to be one of the happiest days of my life, you know, considering the impact that he's had, not only for me and giving me an opportunity at another football club, but for many other people, you know, suffering with MND and their families. It's just a horrendous disease.
So, Biz, back to the Mighty Cats, 1996, there would have been some characters you would have come through with. Do you keep in contact with many, or who makes you smile when you think back to the early days?
Oh, gosh, I tell you, Brad Scholl always brings a smile to my face.
He'd be on everyone's face, I think. We know exactly why.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that's, I think, you know, you can... he's funny without even thinking that he's funny. You know, he's just one of those guys. But, you know, I have, you know, such fond memories. I still remember the day that I met Gary Ablett Sr. You know, I just saw him walking through the room, and I just quickly just put out my hand and say, "G'day, Gary, my name's Clint," just to introduce myself. And, you know, he didn't really say much. And I got the privilege of playing right alongside of him, you know, and I would often say, "So, Gary, where do you want me?" You
know, he didn't know who you were.
Nah, he didn't know who I was, but he just said, "You'll be right, young fella. Just go wherever you want."
make sure it's outside 50.
Correct. Just get out of my way. And look, I still remember, you know, I think it was a game against Richmond. You know, I was playing in the forward pocket, and I remember leading out, never going to get the ball, turning around and just seeing him fly. I think it might have been over the top of Paul Bullis and taking this huge specky. And here I am as a kid that enjoyed watching him play. I've just gone, "Gazza!" I thought I was actually still watching him play, but I'm out on the field and trying to do my job. So I had to try and, you know, get back into, you know, getting to the fall of the ball. But look, there's wonderful memories. I mean, Billy Brownless, Barry Stoneham, Grant Tanner, you know, Sean Simpson, Lee Colbert. Still keep in touch with Lee and Benny Graham, Buddha every now and again on Facebook and things like that. And obviously having two kids, it's, you know, it's a busy time with kids and work and everything. But I love catching up, and, you know, COVID, apart from COVID, you know, there's a group of guys that, you know, catch up in Melbourne, Liam Pickering, you know, that kind of era. And it was a wonderful time. And I've got, you know, fond memories of my time at Geelong.
So watching, you're on a Geelong podcast, so I hope you answer this the right way, but you're a Geelong or Melbourne man when you watch the footy?
Well, mate, my heart is definitely split down the middle. And, you know, for me, I'm forever grateful for Geelong giving me the opportunity to, you know, realise my AFL dream. But look, Cats have won 3 flags. You've got to share it around. You've got to share the love around, don't you?
Waiting a while if you're waiting for the Demons.
Oh, I don't know. This green zip to start things.
False storm, Cameron. It'll change on Sunday. There you go.
Will it? Who's your tip for Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Biz. Put the biz on.
Oh, geez. You know I'm going to be in trouble either way, you know, here. One thing I find when I do watch footy, I just love watching, you know, players from any team. I end up, you know, sometimes, you know, being mesmerised by some of the players, by other players. And I'm sure, Linky, you might be the same, because as a football lover and someone that's played their game, you just admire, you know, great football passages and play, and whether that's, you know, hardball get or, you know, even unselfish acts or the one percenters. That's the kind of stuff that I really, really love. But look, I think it's going to be an incredible game. Melbourne sort of 3-0, you know, Geelong being a complete powerhouse over the last 10 years, and it should never be written off. But look, you know, who knows? I just hope for a really great game of footy.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely answer.
Outstanding. Now,
since retirement, retired, I think, after 07 with the D's. Done lots of things, written a book, produced
TV shows,
TV content, absolutely. What are you doing now? Tell the Cats fans out there, what's Clint Bizzle up to these days?
Well, these days, I suppose I've been going back to my roots of high performance, and something that I've always loved. And I think it was one of those itches that need to be scratched. I finished football, and I know, like a lot of footballers, it's like you want to pretty much just get away from the game. It was, I don't want to watch another game of footy. Lingy, you might have been a little bit different, I don't know, but for me, I just needed to get away, and I had the opportunity and did travel the world producing a TV travel show, for over a decade. And for me, that combined the love of football, and also I always had an interest in drama at school, and for me, that producing TV travel show and producing other talent was great. And then it got to the stage where I just always felt like I needed to get back into this high performance space, because I've always loved getting the best out of people. And so designing or tailoring high performance leadership programs for individuals and teams to play at their best is and has always been me. And I feel like it's coming home. So now I get to work with, some of Australia's, best companies and executives, and take them to another level. So as a high performance consultant in leadership and resilience.
In the corporate world with executive teams.
What would the name of the company be?
Oh, I reckon it's going to be, he's always been very creative, Clint. Yeah, I know. It'll be something just
you've got to think about. Yeah.
Well, what's the name?
What do you go with, Biz?
All right. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Clint Bizzle Consulting.
I tell you, outstanding.
Now, back on the travel, give our listeners top three destinations. You've done it all for a decade. What are your three favourite places?
Okay.
Not that we may ever get to go there again, but pretend COVID disappears.
Yeah, look, I fingers crossed we get to travel, because, for me, it just broadens your horizons, get to meet people and hear their stories, which is just fascinating. And I think it just adds an extra layer of depth into, us humans, into your soul. So for me, top three, Antarctica, number one.
Cameron, you're made for Antarctica. No sun.
he's very harsh. Scotty, Nepal, number two. Just trekking.
It could be difficult for me.
And the hospitality of the locals is incredible. And then number three is Canada.
Oh, yeah. I've wanted to go to Canada. Yeah, I really want to go.
I've been at Niagara Falls and stared at Canada, but I never actually stepped into it.
Mm. Canada. Anywhere in particular in Canada I should be focusing one day when we can travel, Biz?
Look, I think, Vancouver's an incredible city. You've got so many different things that you can do. Very, very close by. So they say you can, you can ski, you can play golf and be on the water all within an hour and a half. And there's many different things. So, I was lucky to travel along the Rocky Mountaineer, went all the way from Victoria to Banff. So that Icefields Parkway and the Rockies, phenomenal. And then also Whistler. And then even like downtown Vancouver, it's just really special, gas town and things like that. It's really, really interesting.
Beaches sipping pina coladas in this sort of array that this is offering us there, Cameron.
No, which is more my style. I
put a bit you're an adventurer?
I just get the tan going, kick back, top off, just go for that sort of look. Biz, we've got to let you go. Unfortunately, I keep chatting with you. I want to hear about a few more spots, but Clint Bizzle Consulting is, all jokes aside, Biz will be doing some wonderful things. Management consultancy and focusing in on high performance. Great to have a chat with you, Biz. Enjoy the game on the weekend. I am interested to see just which colour jumper you'd be wearing underneath the shirt. Maybe is the blue and white or the red and blue. I feel like it might be slightly more red and blue.
Yeah, I'm worried about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
They tainted him.
We won't dob him in, the man. So he's been kind enough to join us. Biz, thank you so much. All the very best with everything you're doing. Enjoy Sunday's game.
No, thank you very much, boys. It's always a pleasure chatting to you two legends. And best of luck with the show. And it should be a great game on the weekend.
So big thanks to Clint Bizzle there. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to your questions in just a second.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it, get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on to the final bell. Great to chat with Clint Bizzle there. Oh,
how good.
We got the story of the...
Man. Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yeah, Buddha Hockey. I didn't know it was Buddha. No. That's fascinating.
No, I thought it was one of your mates. The journo's just gone with it.
Well, Buddha started it and then we went with it.
And if Buddha Hocking says it, it would have got some mileage. But
He reminds me of Gary Ablett. Boom. The Beers.
Great to chat with the Beers. We'll keep trying to get
consultancy thing.
Clint Bizzle Consulting. It's all over. We'll try and get guests like that on as often as we can throughout the year. Obviously, great to hear from current players, some past players, but those who've had a little bit of a foot in each camp's always fun. I reckon he's
Zach Tui be on in the coming weeks.
Yes, we are working on that. I don't have his question here, but very angry at Scotty. Listener questions time.
Okay, hit me.
We love our listeners sending them in. Please keep them coming. This is a slightly longer one, but bear with me. There's a question at the end. Okay, this one's from Matt Doherty. Hey, guys, I'm a new Cats fan from the States.
Oh.
Great to have you with us.
Mayor of LA.
I think it's a pretty cool story how I found you guys. I, along with seven other guys, host a sports trivia podcast, and a friend of ours has been an AFL fan for years. He wanted us to get into the AFL, so he assigned us all teams based on the things we thought were most important for our fandom. I was assigned the Cats because I'm from a small town in the north and I love the Green Bay Packers, the team from the smallest town in all of major US sports, in the coldest town with a rich history of winning and passionate fans. Seems like being a Cats fan was natural for me. I signed up for a membership before the season. I'm loving the sport and the Cats, although not the first match. Fair enough too, Matt. I really appreciate your support. Great to have him on board. That's fantastic. My question is a simple one, I hope. On the uniforms and on the team apparel, I see the phrase cotton on. What does that mean? Thanks and go Cats, Matt Doherty. Cotton On being a big sponsor of the club and a huge company in Geelong, a big employer. Nigel Austin founded Cotton On, the clothing company, many, many moons ago, early 90s.
Well, that's the first thing. I don't think Matt even knows about the clothing company. So it's a sponsor's logo.
Yes,
Nigel started it back at the back of his car in Ballarat and then Geelong many moons ago. And I think...
He was selling, I think, denim jackets out of the back of his car at a Beckley Park market, Matt, which is a market in Geelong, north of Geelong, and
I think his mum came up with the name and he stuck with it and it's just lasted the whole way. God love him.
He opened his first store, I think, in Market Square in Geelong, and now well over 2,000 stores worldwide.
He slipped into number 59 on the rich list of Australia. I think he's just tipped over the billion mark, the great man. So he's going well.
His wealth starts with a B, not an M now.
No, we love him and there's a lot of cotton on happening for the Cats.
Yeah, and a huge Geelong fan, might I add, too, and a wonderful supporter of the club. So hopefully that answers your question, Matt, but keep supporting the Cats and really appreciate you hitting us up. This one's from Steve Honner. Hey, guys, question for the podcast. Hey, Lingy and Scotty, love the show. After seeing Jordan Clark hurtling across the MCG like Haley's Comet, who do you think would win a race between Jordan Clark and Wojo, David Wojcicki, circa 2007? Who would you give it to, Scotland?
Wojo was fast. You're a better place to judge this. I mean, Wojo left you in the dust.
I think
you're a Wojo man.
I think Jordan Clark gets across the ground very nicely. He's got some speed and some run and exactly what the team needs. But David Wojcicki, circa 2007, was actually lightning fast.
That fast?
He was truly, truly quick.
Like that was, a 70, 80-metre sprint that Jordan gave
for us. Yeah, that was listen, I'm not taking it away from Jordan. He's impressive. I think Wojo would win it.
Jeez, he was a good player on your team. Again, he was an element you didn't have. Extreme pace. Yeah. Boom.
He didn't play in 08. We missed him in the 08 grand final. Was left out.
Played a lot of games. He's resilient, wasn't he?
Yeah, a wonderful bloke. Great player. I reckon there were times where, you're at half back. There's a bit of congestion. Just need something and you turn to your help and the feeling of here he comes. I've got Wojo and he's already got a head of steam up and you give it to him, you're like, See you later, boys. This one's going down the other end of the ground in a hurry.
And he could hurt people with his tackling. He ran into people.
Yeah. No, so, Steve, I'm going
to
give it to
Wojo.
You're
biased, but I'd like to see it, Steve. It'd be very interesting.
Wojo could still run pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know. I'm tipping he hasn't blown out in retirement.
No. He doesn't have an ACL, though. That's the trouble. He did his ACL while playing at Newtown footy late. Just never got it fixed. I play cricket with him now, and every now and then I call him through for a quick single.
It was like that.
And then he looks at me and says, "Do you remember I don't have my anterior cruciate ligament? Can you not do that?" So, yeah, I'd still give Wojo a nod. A couple of quick ones. Michael Irvin asks, do we need to shake things up at the selection table? If so, what are our options? Michael, I would say not fully shaking up now. I think we're still waiting on some personnel coming back. I like the fact they blooded Max Holmes on the weekend.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that sort of behaviour.
I think we touched on earlier, Menegola, Brad Close come back in are the obvious ones. I don't think major. The only one I'll ask is, and maybe you back Reece Stanley in this week against Max Gorn, but maybe Darcy Fort.
Well, if he's fit, he's been out injured, so that's it hasn't been a issue yet to pick one or the other, but it's getting closer. So, you know, Reece has to play better than he did on Monday.
Yep. Drew Erlix, who has put on more size during their career, Isaac Smith or Andrew Mackie? Isaac
Funnily enough,
isn't he?
We saw both of them this morning before we came on air, and Max certainly hasn't put on any since I last saw him.
No,
but Isaac was very skinny.
Yeah, he's so fit. But Isaac is lean skinny. Andrew was skinny but fat.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
His skin
there was no definition.
Were 140.
That's just him, isn't it?
Yeah. So even peak Andrew Mackie, I'm not sure we could ever see abdominal muscles. He's a skinny fat man.
He still controls the club though, doesn't he? God love him. We don't actually know what he does, but he's just here.
Guru. We'll get to something in a second with him. Sam Kelly asks, Lingy, who is your favourite teammate to hang out with around the club?
Oh, wow. Now, what do you describe as? Because you hung out in bars, nightclubs, you hung out. There's different areas of you hanging with.
I loved surfing, Sam. So a nice day, maybe a day off from footy and the surf's good. Brad Otten's, Tim Callan were two of my favourite blokes to just spend time with.
What about if you wanted some amusement? Who would you hang out with?
Yeah, post-season footy trip and everyone's a little bit tired and a bit down.
One man.
James Kelly would bring a lot to the table, Sam. Your surname namesake, James Kelly, would
we will get him on. We're trying to get him on. He will be on the podcast soon.
Yes. Andrew Mackie was great company. Corey Enright and Joel Corey was always fantastic company. And that was more you could just sit and just chat.
Well, if you didn't want to speak too much.
He spoke to the people he liked. He just never spoke to you.
He always spoke to me.
No, not you, Jurno.
Politely.
Jim Ray asks, best Cats goal in recent memory? He's thinking of Clark's from the weekend to get people up and about. Mate Reg's after the siren.
Yeah, that. No, I get your point. Get people out of there for its whole play. I can't think of a better one for a while.
It was played ad nauseum on Monday because of the build-up of Geelong Hawthorn. Tom Hawkins' goal in 2012 was still something special.
60 to win it.
After what?
Recent times.
Though. You know what we need to do one day, though, is when we do those highlights, we need to show the whole passage of play that includes Paul Puopolo trying to do like the karate kick midair when they've
Geelong
got the game
never
won.
Got the ball back. Yeah, no, correct.
It goes across the face.
And somehow ends up. Oh, yeah, no, that was a brain fade from your man.
That Poppy. Was nice. Max Holmes debuted this week. Who is possibly the next Cat debutante? Liam asks.
Let me think. Well, we've still got Cooper Stevens.
I think he's injured at the moment.
So who else? Have we got Frank the Tank? No, I think we're...
I don't think any...
Who's
I
our
think
man was, who played one game last year? We mentioned him last week.
I think it was Francis and Max, though, who were banging the door down. Ben Jarvis played the one game last year.
I would like, if Gary Rowan's out and he kicked five in the reserves a couple of weeks ago...
So he won't be a debutant.
No, I mean he's played one game.
He deserves another crack.
He might be the next after that.
Haroldino asks, is Cam Guthrie a genuine Brownlow medal chance?
Well, let's go through it. He's got three.
Three on the weekend.
He could have had three the other week.
Zero from Adelaide.
Well, no one gets in out. He's there a lot. Good team. Umpires will see the dreadlocks.
Joel Selwood would have got the three against Brisbane, though. Guthrie maybe two.
So he's on five eye. Yeah. It's not bad.
Why not? Harold Eno?
And people know, you know, last year was his breakout year, so they're aware of him.
You said last week it's now his team.
It is. And look what happened. When they were backs against the wall, he has 43. Another thing I got right. Like Zach. I mean, sorry. Yeah, keep going.
Matt Vella asks, how did Wellesley start his career? We'll get to that in a second. Oh. He deserves more recognition. Matt, no, he doesn't. No, the great Wellesley is pumped up left, right and centre. We are building statues for the great man.
More about the great man than any other person at this club.
Oh, and he just, Andrew Mackie's being groomed as maybe the next Stephen Wells. Well, Wellesley's just, he, trust me, Matt, he runs the show.
He's not going anywhere in a hurry. He told me this once. Like, he was a great footballer and cricketer himself locally.
Outstanding. Still holds the highest score in GCA, which is a very good competition. GCA cricket history, a 230-odd.
Yeah, he got busy.
Very good golfer. He worked got his start under Bill McMaster.
But I don't know how he got that start. He told me why. Like, he didn't come in and suddenly he was in recruiting. He did something here, but he's been at the club for 85 years.
Yeah. One of the – no, don't worry, Matt. Jokes aside, he does deserve a lot of recognition, he does get the recognition. One of the legends and a true club person. Just loves the Cats.
And he generally doesn't like the recognition, and I always hang it on him because we pump him up.
He doesn't like the recognition, but he kind of does.
Yeah, of course he does. He struts. He struts down there. Don't worry about that.
Matt, we did just see him down in the foyer, and straight away, Scotty and I were both saying hello, as we respectfully do, and then quickly stirred him up as he wandered for another coffee.
That's what he does.
Swanned around the place.
He finds people like, you know, the Tank from Nowhere and Maxie Holmes.
Maxie Holmes, yes. Mark Blitzarves, the steeplechaser. Tom Stewart, the carpenter from South Barwon, and Jack Henry, the... Decathlete, was he?
Yeah, he was something like
Decathlete.
That.
Decathlete. Thank you for your questions. Please keep them coming in. Email, social media. We'll get to as many as we can throughout the year. Always good to know what you want to hear us talk about, because sometimes I wonder if we're just talking completely ridiculous nonsense.
No. They seem to be following our instructions.
You are consistently off the mark when you don't know Zach Tuohy missed with a sore back.
Zach will be on to clear that up.
Zach will be on. Cats take on Melbourne Sunday afternoon, MCG 3:20 game. I think it's a very dangerous game for the Cats.
Well, it is, obviously, because they're in form, but I think they've played not above themselves, but Geelong haven't played nearly to their level. I get that. They're going to have to play better, obviously, than Monday.
I still think Geelong are a better team, by the way. Don't get me wrong with that. I still think they beat Melbourne. I just have some nervous thoughts about Max Gawn in the midfield and May and Lever's ability to contain our forward line, which isn't scoring 100 points a game right now.
No.
There's just some little...
Patrick Danger will be good in a game like this.
I would like Patrick back at some stage.
Still having a week. He played in the twos again, didn't he?
I would assume so. You're allowed to. It's completely within the AFL rules.
I think someone said
he
had another run. Oh, no, he might do it this week. He had a big training session. So Patrick will be ready to go. They'll find a way.
Okay. Let's hope they do. Sunday afternoon, MCG. I'm sure all of our listeners will be tuning in from wherever they are around the country, including Matt from the US of A. Keep your questions coming in. We will be back again next week. We'll try and track down a guest ahead of the Cats taking on North Melbourne the following week and then West Coast. So two games.
Back to back, yes.
Yeah, two games at GMHBA Stadium. Hopefully in the next day or two, Scotty, we will find out the following 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, we've got
Is that right?
Yes, I think there's small batches of times and days to come out.
From my understanding, it will be, unless something, and there's an outbreak somewhere, it'll be in 3 week batches going forward.
So is West Coast nailed down as in a time or not?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
1:45 on Saturday afternoon. Almost traditional footy. 1:45 on a Saturday afternoon at the good old Cadinia Park.
All the local leagues are kicking off. I know that, North Melbourne's a Sunday 4:40 game.
Yes. I think North Melbourne might be hidden in some different time spots over the remainder of the year.
We urge Cat fans to come along, though.
Yes, please come along. Make it a difficult place to come to. When a team's down, you got to keep them down. Because eventually the cycle turns and get a little turn where...
Not here, the cycle never turns. Wellesley makes sure it doesn't, Cameron.
Great to catch up with you, Scotty. Enjoy the rest of the week. I'm glad you enjoyed Stall, the great Stall gift on the weekend.
Yes, where your wife was from. We'll talk about that in coming episodes.
Yes, we were. I was back there for the weekend.
Hard to believe.
We didn't catch up.
No.
No, it's all right. Don't take it personally. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for joining us.